major injuries? Is it more than any other year recently? I'll leave that up to you. Let's talk about it a little bit in this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. If you're in the greater Tampa Bay area, originalhooters.com is your online destination for information, address, phone number, hours of operation, easy online ordering for any of the 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. And if you visit the Johns Pass Village location, please ask for Tony Metzler. He is playing in one of my leagues this year and is a longtime supporter of my leagues and my golf tournaments and just a good friend overall. He's been in the Hooters family for a long time. Wonderful view down there at the Johns Pass Village location for Hooters. 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Remember, everyday pricing on Bud Light Draft, Mick Ultra Draft, neutral, canned adult beverage, just under $5. The sauce of the summer is mango habanero. Consider that for your wings or your hand-breaded tenders. Hooters, the original wing joint, 30-plus years and counting, and 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Visit originalhooters.com. My email for fantasy football questions, I respond to all emails, either just via the email or talking about it on the air. We got to go back over the rules of contacting me about fantasy stuff because I got through week one unscathed, and then week two, text messages right up to the 1 p.m. kickoff. Sunday mornings are mine. I'm available to you via email pretty much any time except Sunday. Sunday mornings, I have my own teams, my own leagues, and dare I say, my own life. So get out in front of it. Send me anything via email. And as long as you send it prior to Saturday night, you will get a response before I go to bed Saturday night, but not on Sunday. Sorry, that's my day to try and win my leagues, to commission my leagues, and do things that I need to do leading up to 1 o'clock kickoffs and on the rest of the day. But I'm there for you. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. One more thing on the emails. When I respond, that's the response. We're not starting a dialogue. So get your questions into that email, because if you write back, I've already moved on. Put your most important question or two in the first email, because I just can't keep going back and forth with everybody who emails for a particular week. We good? Okay. Let's talk injuries. And we're recording this pretty early. We're not even through week two. I don't know when this will post. I almost did this before Sunday's games based on the McCaffrey IR news. But then based on some things that happened on Sunday, I mean, it could happen in the Monday night game. I really felt on that field in Brazil, with it being week one, we were going to have a major injury in Green Bay, Philly. And I didn't want to say it. And sure enough, we got it. Now, it could have been a lot worse with Jordan Love, who was closer to starting than most think, my opinion, based on some connected people that I talked to. So Jordan Love should return sooner than originally expected. Whether it's this coming week against the Titans, I don't know. I don't know how LaFleur is going to play it. You know, if Love is cleared, he plays, or if it's like, we're playing Tennessee. We can beat them. I can game plan that because we don't want to risk Jordan Love. Is it one of those where if he plays, you're risking injury more, or does the doctor say, no, he's fine, go ahead and play? But let's talk about, let's get into McCaffrey first, because I would imagine in a significant percentage of leagues, he went first overall, second overall, or third. He was the first running back off the board in most leagues where you didn't have a Jets or Falcons homer. No, and I think I said this on an earlier fantasy football podcast. No, I had no idea. All right, and we did a fun thing in the Candyland Coalition this year. Every year now I'm going to brand one of my fantasy football leagues after something. We did it with candy this year. Next year it'll be something else. And where you choose something that fits the model of the league, and based on what you choose determines your draft position. So we had gotten through, it's a 12-team league, we had gotten through 10 selections of boxed, basically it's called movie theater candy. And the two boxes still left on the table were Swedish Fish and Mike and Ike's. And Greg, longtime Todd Wright Tour captain and fantasy player and UCF apologist, great win. Coming back from, 2021 down against TCU on Saturday night for UCF. Greg's a UCF apologist. So Greg, it's up to Greg. Now, I know which candies are assigned which position, which is why I don't get to choose a candy. I take whatever falls to me. That's the integrity of what we're doing. So I know if Greg chooses Mike and Ike's, I'm picking first. So let's just run with that scenario. If he did, I would have just held up the box and said, looks like I get Christian McCaffrey again this year. Because I would have taken him number one overall. That is me saying to all of you, I had no idea. I had no concerns. I'm in the majority like most. It's the Niners hid this, which is very, very, very difficult to do. In today's world, with the way information leaks and all the way to get information, and of course, they were cleared by making him questionable on the first injury report and then game time decision. And then suddenly he's inactive for the week one Monday night game. That stunner. And since then, we've learned he goes on IR. So the earliest we're going to see him is week six. The Niners have, a week nine or week 10 bye. There's a thought that we may not see him until after that. I didn't know. I didn't have an inclination. I would have taken McCaffrey first overall. In the foundation draft, Tyreek Hill went one. We'll get to that. Had I had the second pick, I would have taken him, which happened in our league. I wasn't picking second. I picked at the end of the first round. McCaffrey went second in that draft. So I had no idea. Now, I do find interesting that one of my owners, who's played fantasy football a long time and is one of the seven in our foundation, which has stable membership, 10-team league, we're in our 10th year. It's been won by seven different owners. All seven of those owners are playing this year, plus three more who have never won our title, but have been playing for quite some time. One of the championship owners on Saturday picked up Jordan Mason because Mason went undrafted. And I would imagine Mason went undrafted in most drafts. We go 13, seven starters, six bench, and we don't flex a running back because I like keeping running backs sort of in the mix to be able to pick them up on waivers. And so people aren't playing three running backs, stashing a ton of running backs. They're going to do it enough. So just playing two, just having a bench of six, starting seven overall with just two running back spots. You cannot flex a running back in my leagues, only a wide receiver or a tight end. That's the only place you can play a tight end. It works very well. So Jordan Mason was not picked in either of our drafts, but we had an astute owner pick him up. Maybe he picked him up because simply McCaffrey was listed as questionable on the first Niner injury report and said, maybe McCaffrey doesn't play, or maybe McCaffrey will be limited. I might want to have Jordan Mason. That was a smart pickup. Some of you may have done that as well. You saw that Mason wasn't drafted. You see McCaffrey on the injury report because come Monday night, right, if you're running to that waiver wire, some of you got him. Some of you who have McCaffrey were able to make that claim and plug and play. Some. Now, some non-McCaffrey owners may have ran to the waiver wire, potentially cut a player they didn't want to cut. Now, granted, your player should be pretty much locked in. There's different ways to do it, but I credit those that picked up Jordan Mason before the news that McCaffrey was out for the Monday night game. I think it's a small percentage, but that certainly paid off. And for what it's worth, I mean, Mason's, the receiving numbers aren't what McCaffrey gives you, but the volume and the rushing yards is in a big-time offense. I don't know if it's sustainable. I kind of doubt it. I'm not comparing Mason to McCaffrey. I'm not comparing anybody to McCaffrey. But Mason's rushing yards look a hell of a lot better than Breece Hall's. Breece Hall has 30 rushes for 116 yards the first two games combined. Does that do anything for you? The volume does. I get that. But this is just more of the same from what Breece Hall did and didn't do last year. He's gotten in the end zone the first two games, so that gets you to that double-digit threshold of points that I always say you want. By the way, let's stop here. I just want to identify, for those that listen to this podcast who clearly don't really have a pulse on fantasy football and they complain that I talk about fantasy football is personal. It's personal to you. It's personal to me. So, of course, we talk about what players we have, how they've done for us, what players we want, what players we've had in the past. This is our personal game that we play. I've seen some complaints recently from Rube saying, all I do is talk about myself on the podcast. No, I'm talking about my leagues, my teams, my fantasy football history, my owners in these leagues. This is what we do. This is how the game is played. This is how we gain knowledge and data. And that's the way I'm going to continue to do it because it is effective. And for those that don't play fantasy, and I still occasionally hear these complaints about fantasy players. Oh, they just play fantasy. They don't really know football. Yeah, we know football so much better than pathetic, whiny little bitch homers of one team because we follow the entire league. And I have followed the entire league before I ever played fantasy football. But that complaint rings so pathetically hollow. You know, someone asked recently on a radio show I listened to, what is a homer? I'll tell you what a homer is. A homer watches a game and sees one team. That's what a homer is. They don't want to know about the other team. They don't care to know about the other team. The other team is just a nuisance to them, just in the way. I have no use for homers. Unless they come out front and just say, yeah, I'm a homer and I just want to see my team win. And they're nice about it. But they don't, homers win baseball games. They don't win fantasy football titles. But I just wanted to address some of the very few complaints about this podcast. Well, Todd's always talking about himself and his players. That's what we do in fantasy football because that's what we have, what we know. It's relatable. Yes, I talk about my league. I'm about to talk about my league in the first two rounds and how many players have been impacted by injuries. Because it's data. Other players can relate to it who don't play in my leagues. All right, I'll move on. Foundation League, Tyreek Hill went one. Tyreek Hill is now impacted by the Tua Tagovailoa injury. McCaffrey went too. McCaffrey. The best thing I've heard about the McCaffrey injury was via Mike Garofalo on NFL Network. Because once we got past the calf to the Achilles tendonitis, which even Garofalo said, I never even heard this before. How can I paraphrase what Mike said? That McCaffrey and the Niners are worried based on how it feels to McCaffrey, and you get the doctors involved, that if he goes full steam, he could tear it. And nobody wants that. So this is why we're at where we're at. Because I guess in the Niners' mind, they're trying to prevent McCaffrey from tearing his Achilles. That's where we're at. That's the best thing I've heard yet. And it's terrible news for McCaffrey, let alone for fantasy, for the Niners. Because we don't want that. So does he return week 6? Does he return after the Niners bye? I guess it depends on how he feels. If they still feel he's going to potentially tear the Achilles, then he's not going to play. I mean, if we get to the postseason, would the Niners, if the Niners were playing a playoff game today, would he be active? Would they put him out there and risk him tearing the Achilles? Because then potentially you lose him for the next season. But yeah, I guess at some point you feel he should go, right? Unless there's no improvement at all and he sits all year. But that's where we're at. Just following the foundation draft board. Lamb, here, I stayed away from Cowboys other than Brandon Aubrey because I don't know if many of you know this specifically about me. I'm a longtime fan of the Cowboys, but the minute they sign Dak to an extension, I'm out. Here is when I will watch the Cowboys play football. If they are in an NFC championship game, or if Dak Prescott is not the quarterback. Because I'm not going to waste my time. It doesn't entertain me. I've seen this over and over and over and over. Dak is 2-5 in the postseason. His offenses have scored one touchdown in the first half of 6 of those 7 playoff games, and I just don't think he has it. And I don't care how many regular season games he wins, because that's not what this is about. You're either a Super Bowl contender or you're not. And with Dak Prescott, he's proven that they're not. Prove me wrong, get to an NFC title game, and I'll watch and root for you. Otherwise, I'm out. And I think the more they lose, the better it would be for the Cowboys in the long run. By the end of last year, it was pretty obvious. And Jake Ferguson was a red zone threat. Now he's hurt, but it was really spotlighted against the Saints. This Cowboy offense is Dak to CeeDee and not much else. And that's not good. We talked about Breece Hall a little bit. He went 4th in our draft, not affected by injury. Justin Jefferson, we talked about the perception that Jefferson wasn't as coveted in fantasy because it was Sam Darnold, not Kirk Cousins, through 2 weeks. Looks pretty good to me, and that's why I own him in one of my leagues. Bijan Robinson has only played one game at the time of this podcast. It was a bad game because the Falcons, as Field Yates brought up, lined up in the pistol or shotgun more than any other team in the NFL, and they never had a running play from that formation. So the Falcons were basically saying to the Steelers, not a good thing with a Mike Tomlin coach defense. Here's what we're going to do. Try to stop it. And the Steelers did. Other than Kyle Pitts standing alone in the end zone, which was an extremely athletic play by Kyle Pitts. Amon-Ra St. Brown goes down for the Lions in that Dan Campbell loss. That wasn't a Lions loss. That was a Dan Campbell loss to the Buccaneers. So Amon-Ra potentially affected by injury. We learned Sunday morning, A.J. Brown out for the Monday night game against the Falcons. Jamar Chase, kind of toxic what's going on in Cincy, despite their good effort, much better week two effort than week one. Still losses for Cincinnati. I've already taken the move to drop T. Higgins, even though I spent a mid-round draft pick on him. If I want to try to pick him up later, I think he'll be there. But things are really bad in Cincinnati. You've got your top two wideouts upset. Chase has a bad penalty that cost the Bengals on the offensive side, and then they had the bad pass interference, a justified call on the 4th and 16 that keep the Chiefs alive. That's just not a good environment right now in Cincinnati. I don't want to be part of that. Derrick Henry, more involvement in week two than week one. I'd still like to see more, but the Ravens seem committed to Justice Hill on down and distance. Jonathan Taylor through 2 weeks, not affected by injury, but Anthony Richardson is healthy and looked bad. Saquon Barkley looked phenomenal week one. We talked about buyer's remorse for those of you like me who passed on Barkley in the first or second round. Jahmyr Gibbs took a beating in week two in the Dan Campbell loss to the Buccaneers. Pacheco, fractured fibula, will miss weeks. I haven't heard a number assigned to this yet. So the Pacheco thing is pretty significant. McCaffrey could come back before Pacheco. And Pacheco's a big part of what Kansas City does. Garrett Wilson through 2 weeks, healthy, makes some great grabs. Kyren Williams, healthy through 2 weeks, although the Rams got Blake Corum some work and a blowout loss. Didn't bank Stafford, but got Blake Corum out there in week two. Marvin Harrison gets involved early in Arizona's win against the Rams. ETN split some time in week two with Bigsby. Nacua, there's the other real significant injury before we get to Jordan Love, who was drafted in later rounds, and Cooper Kupp, obviously. So Nacua injured week one, then Kupp injured week two, and Jordan Love misses week two. We wait to see if he misses week three. It feels like a lot. This is why all of your draft picks had value. And remember, I did the podcast where I talked about what won me a championship, but I said I needed to be better in the later rounds, and actually get some value out of those picks. I took Jaden Daniels in the 8th round, and I've been playing him. I have Jaden Reed. I didn't play him because of the Malik Willis factor. I took Reed in the 9th round. Kyler Murray in the 10th. Murray had a great game against the Rams. And unlike Blake Corum, was the most dropped player in ESPN.com leagues week one. And Field Yates brought this up, and he's right. And look, I even thought this in my head. Well, Blake's not playing, so I can pick him up later, but then why'd you draft him? I'm not rooting for a Kyren Williams injury, but if Williams goes down, Blake's going to play. And once McVay likes feeding one running back, not in a 31-point loss, but that's what McVay likes to do. Whether it's Todd Gurley or Cam Akers or Kyren Williams, there was someone else in there. And Blake's presumably the next in line. So I didn't drop Blake Corum. I thought about it. I even talked to some of my friends who play in leagues in other cities, and I said, I'm fighting this inclination. Because no, I didn't draft Corum to play him the first 2 weeks. It's for later. And who knows if I can get him later. So that's where I'm at. Where are you at? Tell me what injury is affecting you the most. The Cup injury affects me the most because you know what I've said about him. He was my big wide receiver investment. A wide receiver I felt was undervalued that I could draft in all my leagues and get a lot out of for the third year in a row. 2 years ago was Tyreek Hill. Check. Last year was Brandon Ayuk. Check. This year it was Cooper Kupp. Looked great through week one. Now, as of the time of this podcast, noon Eastern time on Monday, don't know about what looked like a high ankle sprain. Hope he doesn't miss time. If he does, hope he doesn't miss a lot of time. And Reed will go in for him in the league I was just talking about, who I did draft in the later rounds. Because again, I think Love's closer to coming back, closer to playing than most think. We'll see. Send me your injury dilemmas at right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.